All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, March the 27th, 2014. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like descending into a police state, information security, and the price of Tinga eggs when purchased with Bitcoin. I'm Morps, and I couldn't even finish with those damn things. Inside joke, nobody worry about it. I just had to ask what those things were yesterday and got made fun of for it. I'm Morps, and tonight we have a man who also did not know what a Tinga egg was, Sard.
Hello.
What are you drinking, Sard?
I have a rum and coke tonight.
Fantastic. A man who I'm sure knows exactly what a Tinga egg is, Madman.
I'm drinking a bourbon barrel stout.
Are you drinking Robot Revolution Stout?
Yes, I am. Robot Revolution Stout.
That's what we're calling my homebrew. Robot Revolution Stout.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
I am also drinking Robot Revolution Stout. And then finally, a man who I'm sure has a collection of Tinga eggs.
I have five, all five colors.
All five colors. And being a good sport about it, Suave. Suave, what are you drinking?
I am drinking delicious water.
Well, you know, Canadian spring and all, you just go out and scoop it up off the ground, right?
Yeah.
Just let it melt first. anyways. I guess I should have probably been recording the pre-conversation before the show, too. A little bit of station news. We've had some hiccups with the new stream. I've been in contact with the streaming company, and we're going to try moving the stream to their data center out of the UK, and I'm going to be working on that in the next couple of days, so the stream might hop a little bit, and you might see it coming out of a different IP. Just use the web player for now, because that one will be the one that's right. I'll try to make sure the playlist links for your, like, Winamp or whatever are up to date as well, but the web player is always going to be correct. So until we get that flattened out, just deal with it. And of course, I've been messing with the front page too, and that's going to need some work. And Suave just finished up our new logo for the station, so I want to get that on the web page pretty much ASAP because it's awesome. Robot hand holding a microphone. It's great.
Yeah, so, totally awesome.
You know, maybe for next meetup we'll have that on, like, I don't know, T-shirt or something.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Anyways, yeah. So I've actually got two discussion topics for tonight. We've got Facebook buying up the Oculus, and we've got the IRS claiming Bitcoins are property. Where do you guys want to start?
Let's just do them in order. Let's start with the Oculus.
Oculus, all right. New York Times story Tuesday afternoon, Facebook unveiled that unexpectedly announced that it planned on purchasing Oculus VR, the maker of a virtual reality headset called the Oculus Rift, for about $2 billion. Now, it was not in cash. Only like $5 million of it was in cash. The rest is in Facebook stock, which also
$400 million.
Oh, I'm sorry?
$400 million.
$400 million. Thank you. Number wrong. That's okay. $400 million of it was in cash. The rest is in Facebook stock, which immediately took a nosedive right after they did this, which is even funnier. Let's see. Reaction to the deal ranged from excitement on Wall Street to bewilderment. As some were wondering, it was not an early April Fool's Day prank. A notably negative reaction came from those who backed the company when it was a fledgling idea for a hardware company looking to raise a few thousand bucks on crowdfunding service called Kickstarter. So, yeah, you know, Oculus got the start on Kickstarter, and then immediately after they got kickstarted, they ended up taking a bunch of private investors' money as well, and then got bought out by Facebook, which the fact that it's Oculus Rift and everybody had all these high hopes for it, aside, that's actually a fairly standard practice for a Silicon Valley company.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, build up your user base and sell it off. So it's not terribly surprising. I know a lot of people were losing their shit over it.
Well, it's because it's Facebook. Everyone, like I said, had these high hopes and dreams for the Oculus. Now, what the hell is Facebook going to do with it? I still don't understand.
They're going to interrupt your game to show you ads and friend requests? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You know, go ahead. I was just going to say, I've been reading a lot of somebody had a call log from some investor groups and posts by the Facebook guy, whatever his name is, I can't remember now.
Zuckerberg or
Yeah, Zuckerberg. And from what I understand, the version of Oculus Rift that's coming out, it's just going to be the hardware. They're not really going to touch that. But they're talking about doing stuff in the future. And he did mention advertisements right off the bat. So
God.
yeah, that's not a good sign. And the reason why everybody's so upset about this is because like the whole time that Oculus was being developed, they're touting like, oh, open hardware, we want to make this easy for everybody to develop on, we want to keep everything open. And then they go and sell to Facebook that basically represents the exact opposite of everything that they've been saying about.
And Facebook's just going to close it all up. I mean,
Oh,
that.
yeah.
Yeah, and no one's like said that's why everyone's pissed. It's like, what is Facebook going to do with it? I saw a funny thing on Reddit that I thought kind of summed that up. It's like they're saying, oh, you can use it to connect with people because that's what people do on Facebook. Well, people like the Oculus Rift and going into a virtual reality because they want to disconnect from the real world and go into a virtual reality. I don't want to fucking connect with people. I want to do the exact opposite.
I somehow get the feeling that Facebook's Oculus Rift is going to end up like a really shitty version of Second Life, except you need headset to,
Yeah.
I don't know. That just seems like the thing it would do. Notch actually was work, had basically right after this happened said, yeah, we're done. So, I should have linked to his blog directly, but I didn't. I grabbed an article from The Verge. Minecraft creator Marcus Peterson has revealed that an Oculus Rift version of the game was potentially in the works, but following the sudden news that Facebook had acquired Oculus VR for $2 billion, that's no longer the case. I just canceled that deal, Peterson tweeted. Facebook creeps me out. I definitely want to be part of VR, but I will not work with Facebook, wrote Peterson. Their motives are too unclear and shifting, and they haven't historically been a stable platform. There's nothing about their history that makes me trust them, and that makes them seem creepy to me. Now, the reason I wish I'd linked to his blog is because this article kind of lightens up what he was saying there, which is why I just have the quote. Because they had a few extra lines in there saying that he was upset about the instability of the platform. No, he wasn't. He was upset about it being fucking Facebook and what they do with your data.
Yeah.
But
yeah it
it's kind of interesting comparing the article to the original blog post, but I didn't grab the link to the blog post. It's easy to find. Just go find Notch's blog. Surely you can find that in 5 seconds. So,
yeah
but go ahead.
Fox originally was the one who linked me and told me about this, and he's like destroyed over it because he really wanted to get into VR and personal computing. That's something he's always really been into, and he was really looking forward to the Oculus Rift. And I think that's we're gonna see more people pull out and say, Facebook, yeah, no, I don't think so.
Well, RU is was upset enough that he was saying that a lought of the people who backed it on Kickstarter ought to sue
Oh yeah,
because
yeah,
they're
exactly. They're
they're.
selling out pretty much.
Except the way Kickstarter is worded, they don't have really a chance in hell. But
Yeah, like everybody who's bitching about the Kickstarter and everything, they're like, "Oh, we invested in this company," and they're, betraying their investors, blah 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 blah. That's not what Kickstarter is about. Kickstarter is essentially you gifting them money, to help
Right.
them get started. And everybody who gave them money, they got what they ordered. They got their development kit. Now, I can kind of understand why a lot of them would be upset about this, especially because it's a dev kit. Because people went and spent money on a dev kit for a product that they probably don't no longer want to develop for.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, who the hell wants to play Farmville on an Oculus Rift? I mean, really?
Yeah, not to mention who, I mean, you mentioned it's being a development kit. What's that you gonna read once Facebook's lawyers get a hold of it, Everything that you code is gonna be their property. Everything that play is gonna be
What?
their property.
Ooh,
Everything is gonna be targeted towards advertisement.
I kind of wonder about that though. If you think about it, if you got one of these dev kits, before Facebook bought it. Facebook can't come in and say, no, you are now subject to this agreement, and you know, you're going to do X, Y, and Z, and we own everything. Because you can say, no, I never agreed to that. So even though, yeah, there'll be a EULA, I can't see Facebook enforcing that radical of a change because they bought the damn thing. They could try, and I'm sure they will, but with that many dev kits floating around out there too, I kind of wonder how many companies you're going to see spring up where somebody got their hands on one of these dev kits, ripped it apart, and figured out how to make their own.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So then you'll have the Facebook Oculus Rift, and then you'll have the real Oculus Rift that everyone else wants.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, of course, PC Master Race on Reddit is just going absolutely insane over this. It's actually really funny to go through that subreddit and all the, you know, the Star Wars GIFs. You know, you were the chosen one.
It's like,
you know, people are really, really upset over this. But
Fox originally told me he went to a couple places, and I guess the owner of Oculus Rift is on Reddit. He went to a couple of his comments. He was essentially saying that Facebook owns us, but I'm still in charge. We still have, you know, creative freedom. And I like Notch's tweet, you know, about, you know, historically there's nothing that makes you trust them, that their motives are too unclear and shifting. And I kind of have to agree with that. Like right now, sure, they aren't doing anything, but that doesn't mean anything in the future. That's not going to change then.
And you know, if Facebook is a good shepherd of the technology and does great, good on them. I don't care. I was pretty interested in the Oculus too. I was kind of waiting on the consumer finished version to come out before I dropped any money on it. Mm-hmm. Mainly because I've had some VR headsets in the past that, you know, they worked for a little while, and then the company that made them disappeared, and then it was, you know, you couldn't do anything with them.
Yeah, $300 paperweight.
Yeah, pretty much. So I was kind of waiting to see what happened with Oculus just because I've seen VR before. And I have, in fact, played Duke Nukem 3D in a VR headset. And great fun. Gives you a bit of a headache, really, but great fun.
I played Halo in a VR headset. It took forever to get it calibrated so I could see anything.
But, yeah, I'm pretty much just not interested anymore. I mean, Facebook is going to fill this thing up with metadata collection, ads, and, you know, okay, even if they do a decent enough job of leaving the team alone, you know there's going to be some little, I don't know, Facebook, what, bar?
Sure.
In the bottom corner of every game. It's like, you know, it's going to be like some of these cell phone games where every time you get anywhere in the game, it's like, share this on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know that's going to be all over it.
Of course, you know, you're going to have to look out and duck for once the Viagra commercial comes on, because you know that shit's coming straight at you.
God. Well,
in their defense, they might just be trying to diversify. Because
Facebook
overall is a crappy company.
Oh, yeah.
It's advertising, but it's crappy advertising. So they're already overvalued. They might be trying to diversify before they completely crash.
Well, they also sell data to the NSA. That's been a major Actually,
most big tech companies do.
Yeah.
But you know, like I'm kind of okay with it. You know, like the first one that comes out, they're not really going to touch. So you're probably safe picking that up if you really want to get into VR. I might consider it depending on what else comes out by the time Star Citizen is released, because I definitely need VR for Star Citizen. there's other options out there too, like the Infinity is a very promising alternative that's actually been in development longer than the Oculus. They just didn't have all the money that Oculus had. Now with the Oculus Rift, you get about a 90-degree field of view, which is quite large. The Infinity gives you a 210-degree field of view. So it actually has the screens for your regular vision, then it also has secondary screens for your peripheral vision. And
it has,
like,
screens that you probably can't actually see.
Well, it basically, it wraps around so there is no black on the sides, which I really like that idea.
I thought the dev kit 2 of the Oculus Rift extended that out to like 120 degrees.
That's possible.
Because that just came out. Well, they're taking pre-orders or whatever for it, but I think it's a little bit bigger than 90. And
oh, yeah.
I know the big thing about that was, yeah, the resolution is supposed to be ridiculously better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cykros is laughing at them accepting most of their payment in Facebook stock, that it might as well have been dog coins.
It is. Facebook has no real revenue stream to prop up that stock value. It is massively overpriced. That's probably one reason it took a dive when everyone heard that much more stock was being created, because I doubt they gave them existing stock. They just issued more stock to give to these guys as payment.
Their IPO went so well, everyone was like, oh my god, it's going to be worth so much money. It never even touched what they're expecting it to be.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, too, you know, Swab brings up a good point, pointing out the other VR headsets. Now that a company has been proven to make money with it, even if it's the old school, you know, build up a company on hype and sell it to somebody else before it deflates, you know, the Oculus guys have made a crap ton of money on a VR headset. So I think you're going to see other companies trying to do it. And that'll be, you'll ultimately end up with a lot more on the market and you'll get competition, and that's good.
Yeah.
So, but
it's really time for VR to hit, like, really come into its own. Like, it's we've been waiting so long for the display technology to really catch up to what we want. Like, everybody wants, like, the awesome VR that was predicted back in the 80s. And we've been drooling over it. And there's been so many attempts, and it's always been so garbage because the resolution was shit, the refresh rate was garbage. Like, it was just, the tech wasn't there. But now that the tech is finally here where you can get good VR, I think they're not going to be the only option out there for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think, though? Because, quite honestly, I've only heard of the Oculus Rift. I've never heard of the one that you had talked about before.
Well, that's because it hasn't been released. Like, there's a ton of them out there that are actually under development. Like, you know, Sony's working on one, Microsoft's working on one
for
their consoles.
But I think that's the problem, is they're all vaporware. Oculus Rift was actually real.
I mean, so is the Infinity. It's out there. It's not shipped, but there's test units out there.
Well,
there's a product that's shown to work.
I like I said, though, I think until it gets to the level that the Oculus was, no one's going to pay any attention to it. Because the Oculus, you could go on and order it and say, hey, look, I have VR right now with this. I mean, when they do those little limited releases or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's cool and more dev and stuff is good on it, but I don't think people are going to pay attention to it until they can actually get it.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, let these guys take their time, develop something that's going to be awesome, then when it is released, it's going to blow everyone away. And, you know, I've actually seen, looks like there's some fledgling open source VR communities coming out now, where the people are talking about, you know, putting together some schematics, some parts lists, some, like, 3D printable parts, so you can go out and just build your own.
What's fun is I just for fun here, I just threw Oculus Rift into eBay. And
mm-hmm.
there are a ton of them. The dev kits floating around up on eBay. Looks like, let's see, there's one.
Price just plummeted.
Most of them are hovering around $150. Most of them have
$300
to $400 buy it now prices on them. Yeah, there's a buy it now with $395. Looks like a lot of these have been just kind of floating around for a lot of new listings of Oculus Rift dev kits. And just saying is all. That's funny. So, yeah, if you want to get one, they're $400 on eBay for the buy it nows. So,
or you know, you could buy a dev kit too off their website for $350.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you're supporting Facebook.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Is there any... I also heard the theory that, especially because, like, Carmack went to work for Oculus, that maybe Facebook was just buying it to snap up the employees?
That's a very possible thing. There's a lot of very high-end talent working for Oculus. So it's... But, you know, like, I'm guessing, like, what's to keep them there? Like, if, like, sure, they've got their job there, but, like, if they don't like what they're being told to do, they can just leave. I'm guessing most of them can leave unless they have some sort of contract or something.
But look at the incentives. I mean, when you visit their Facebook page now, there's no ads. I mean, that's pretty sweet, right?
All right, let's move on to this Bitcoin thing. First one up is from Washington Post. The Internal Revenue Service has ruled that it considers Bitcoin a form of property, not a legitimate state-backed currency. The announcement is a big deal for Bitcoin holders nervous about staying on the right side of the law as tax time approaches. What does this mean for your tax return? Well, okay, they break it down in the article, but I didn't want to go through their list. One thing out of the article that interests me. The IRS is treating any new bitcoins generated as a result of mining as a form of income that has to be reported. To do so, miners will need to calculate the dollar value of the generated bitcoins at the time they were mined and then report that as income on their returns. So if you successfully mine 25 bitcoins in August that are worth $500 each, then you mine another 25 in October that are worth $600 each, you'd have to report that as $27,500 of gross income.
But I'm guessing here, if you mine it at 600 and you report it as income at 600, and then it loses value, can't you also use that then as a write-off?
Not if you're still holding them. And
okay, yeah. But if you were to sell them at a loss, then you could.
Yeah, because then it's a loss on capital. But they're just saying it's flat out income at the dollar value of the bitcoins.
I think that's a great thing. I don't know why everybody's all negative about that.
Well, the documentation requirements are a pain in the ass, especially because it's not last in, first out. It's that specific set of bitcoins, because each one has their own, hash. But, the individual transactions, that's what the reporting's done at. Let's see. Bitcoin News Brief had a breakdown, and I pretty much got it, copied right out of their article. The tax guidance instructs the users of digital currency to pay capital gains where applicable, meaning that users could have to track every single one of their transactions in order to remain in compliance. Chiming in with the Bitcoin Foundation, the foundation released a statement on Wednesday declaring IRS notice unnecessarily cumbersome to users of Bitcoin. The tax treatment of Bitcoin as a property and not a currency may make compliance with tax laws unnecessarily cumbersome and impose untenable recording and reporting requirements on its users. Alongside users, the foundation says the guidance is detrimental to small business and underbanked individuals. When it is used as a currency, Bitcoin should be a frictionless means of paying for goods and services. The tax laws currently permit individuals to ignore small gains and losses in foreign currencies. Similar treatment for digital currencies would harmonize the law in the way most people actually use digital currencies. Artificially characterizing this use case as a transaction in property would make one of the most innovative features of this technology hard to use for those who wish to be compliant. The foundation says that the Internal Revenue Service didn't seek meaningful input from the digital currency industry or the public at large. As a result, the guidance creates a poor framework for innovation. To the extent that the tax code compelled this unwieldy outcome, a more open process would have identified the limitations of the statutory language, blah, 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 blah. So pretty much, and this is my problem with it, because I certainly understand, if you're sitting on a lot of value, and even if it is in Bitcoin, I certainly understand the government coming after you saying, hey, yo, taxes on what you got there, especially because...
How are they going to know? That's what I don't understand.
you've been reading ahead.
There's no freaking way that they're going to know. Kind of, decentralized, anonymous currency. It's kind of one of the founding foundations of it.
Well, it wouldn't... If you think about it in terms of if you get your hands on the credit reporting, which is the IRS, you could go in and get records. You could probably see, okay, this person, put $200 million into Bitcoin. Because I could see somebody doing that, trying to use Bitcoin as a tax haven. Like, I think the Winklevoss twins very famously bought a whole bunch of Bitcoin.
Yep.
So I could certainly see that as a tax haven. My honest opinion is I think they're trying to find a way to tax the exchanges.
What it does effectively do is kill Bitcoin as a currency.
Yeah, because you have to do reporting on every transaction.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be as difficult as everybody's making it out to be. First thing, this is kind of good news because it legitimizes Bitcoin. You know, like it is now officially a legal thing. Like there's no, you know, they're taxing it. It's same as stocks or anything else. Like it's there. Everybody knew they were never going to recognize it as a currency, but recognizing it as property is about the best you're ever going to get. Secondly, in regards to reporting it, all of that information is very easy to get right off the blockchain. It's all publicly available. And I could very easily see, like, you know, when it comes time to do your taxes at the end of the year, you plug in your wallet address into QuickTax, and it could easily just go scrape that data and calculate what you owe for taxes, like, right away. Like, you don't need to go in and, like, write everything down on a notepad. I give it, like, a week or two before somebody comes up with, like, a web app that can easily just calculate all that for you.
So you're okay with giving the government your Bitcoin wallet address?
No, not necessarily. You don't need to do that.
If they audit you?
Yeah, if you're audited, then absolutely you need to give them your wallet address. But, you know, like, it's not like it's a secret. Everybody you do a transaction with, they know your wallet address. It's not like you're giving them your encryption keys or anything like that.
Oh, okay, that's true, but it's only the people you do a transaction with. If I go into Bitcoin and send you, you know, $5 worth of Bitcoin, the only people who know about it are you and me. I'm sure you can go on the blockchain and see wallet address A sent $5 to wallet address B, but there's no correlation there. And in fact, I can promise you my Bitcoin wallet has never been associated with my name. The only way you could figure out who that Bitcoin wallet belonged to would be, I used one of those, my funny emails when I set up the mining pool. The only way to associate it would be to either pull the DNS records of who owns the domain of the email address I used, or possibly if you could get the access logs of me hitting the wallet from my house.
Right.
So this whole you have to report it as property, I can see this making who owns what wallet become very public. And I'm with Sard. Wasn't that one of the original selling points of Bitcoin, was you didn't have to publish you owned this wallet?
Yeah. You know, like you can basically make the choice. Like if you have a wallet that's not associated with you in any way whatsoever, you could literally just hide that and not report it. Nobody would ever possibly know. If you wanted to actually do like legitimate business or anything like that, then sure, you know, let them know your wallet. And if you want to have a wallet that nobody knows about, you could easily just like send some money to another wallet and say, oh, I gave money to a friend or something like that, you know, put it in your taxes. And then, you know, if you really wanted to, you could go send those Bitcoins through like a washing service. And then you have another wallet somewhere that it's already gone through the records as if it's exited your possession. And now you have a wallet that's completely anonymous again. So
except,
like, it's not
except
like it's
when
impossible.
It exited your possession, you got to pay capital gains on the transaction.
Yeah, you would. But, you know, that's the price you have to pay to, you know, have it legitimized.
And it's not just that issue. Have you ever had to pay capital gains on the currency in your wallet?
Well, no, but it's not a currency.
That's one thing that's going to be killing it from being widely used as a currency like it was intended. Subway is going to drop this if they have to pay capital gains on every transaction involving Bitcoin. So there goes buying your Subway sandwich or your alpaca hair socks here pretty soon. So it's just going to be going to people who want to buy it as a stock option. You don't go handing General Motors stock to buy a Coke at the local convenience store. So that's the big downside to the way they're legitimizing it. They're legitimizing it and killing it as a currency. It's going to be holding exactly like gold or silver.
So,
So now it's going to be the only currency that's going to be used for is literally kitty porn and drugs.
Well, that's the thing is also is how, what does this ruling affect? At all? Is it Bitcoin only?
No, I think they've been saying cryptocurrencies. So I think it's all
like
of them.
In the ruling, it says cryptocurrencies. It doesn't.
Yeah, it says
say
cryptocurrencies.
Bitcoin.
It, you know, it doesn't just call out Bitcoin.
So it's capital gains on Dogecoin and all of it. That means they're not going to be used to buy Big Macs. Because McDonald's isn't going to bother doing capital gains tax whenever it buys a Big Mac and then deposits that money and leaves it however long in its bank accounts. If it wants to do that, it's going to go with stocks, which already offer dividends and a few other advantages to Bitcoin as a holding. Or something even more concrete like gold or silver.
So I did find a post on Reddit in the Bitcoin subreddit, a guy claiming to be a tax attorney, and I don't know if he is or not. I'm just, you know, he said he was. He wrote up a guide, and I've got his bullet points here. He actually goes in and explains them really well. But Bitcoins are property, not a foreign currency, so we have to treat them like a stock or a bond. Or like Madman was saying, precious metals when it comes to, you know, taking care of their value. Every Bitcoin transaction is taxable. You know, if you mine coins in a year and then use them in that year, they're income. But if you hold on to them longer than that, then you're dealing with capital gains. Miners recognize the income in the year the Bitcoin is mined. So if you're running one of these big mining operations and manage to mine a couple thousand dollars worth of Bitcoin, you have to report that couple thousand dollars. I'm not sure where you get the value from, because there's a couple of exchanges and the prices vary. So I don't know. Do you like pick a value and average it? Do you round up? Do you round down?
You guess and hope that you guess correctly.
Yeah,
that's another issue.
But you have to recognize income in the year it's mined. Miners are subject to self-employment tax if their activity rises to the level of a trade or business. Now, I'm not a banker, so I don't know what that level is. Madman, you're a banker. Do you know what that level is?
I'm a mortgage banker, but it's a few thousand dollars.
Okay. So. And the IRS notice is retroactive, which means they're applying it to people filing their 2013s. They're basically saying the IRS has said that this is not any new rules or law that was passed. This is simply how they're interpreting what they've already got as it applies to Bitcoins.
Right.
So I don't know how this is going to work out. And I mean, can you deduct things like the cost of electricity or the cost of hardware? Because if that's the case, I'm like hardcore into the negative with what I've spent on mining versus what I've gotten out of it.
Great.
That mean everyone's getting a write-off, practically?
Does that mean I get a Bitcoin write-off on my taxes?
Unfortunately, yeah. It's not written that way. All the write-offs are exemptions specifically given to those taxes. Like your mortgage write-off, that's specifically written in. They would have to write these in as exemptions.
Which they will never do. So
I just want to throw out there, I was wrong. There's already sites and web apps available for calculating your taxes. It's all already available. Like bitcointaxes.info.
You may try it and see if whenever they take you to court in front of a judge that they completely control, in a system they completely control, if they decide to rule in your favor. I'm not against the IRS. I swear, don't throw me into a prison or have me tortured, Mr. Internal Revenue Service.
Well, I mean, I still think that this is not going after small-time people experimenting in Bitcoin or maybe people who've put, I don't know, a couple hundred bucks at most into it for trying it out, online transactions or whatever, just supporting it. I think this is going after exchanges and people who've got massive amounts of it.
It is, but the bad side is it kills the dream of Bitcoin, which was a digital currency.
Yeah, it does. And here's the, you know, if you don't self-report your wallet, I mean, how are they going to know how much you mined?
Yeah.
They don't.
It's similar to the black market cash, the black market economy, where you're just doing everything in cash and not truly reporting your income. Bitcoin can be done the same way for small-time dealers. You could probably pull it off with some larger organizations. It's just going to be more risky.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like back to my own personal Bitcoin wallet. It's got, you know, less than $20 in it. So if I don't report that, I don't think anybody's going to care. But I've never used it for anything except paying, you know, accepting payouts from the mining pool, just because I've been experimenting with Bitcoin mining. You know, so I feel fine not reporting this just because the amount's so small.
And you know, like, but the way I see it, it's the, not something yeah. that your average person's going to have to worry about, in the same sense that the guy who sold his Xbox on Craigslist for $50 in cash isn't going to be reporting that either.
Right, exactly, because it's a small enough transaction that nobody cares. But, yeah. you know, there are people who do the bigger mining rigs, and, you know, even as a hobby, they might start running afoul of some of this crap.
You know, so, like, if you're mining enough for you to be classified as a business, I don't really see why you shouldn't be taxed on it. You're running a business.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't pay your taxes. I just kind of feel like what they've done is set themselves up for hardcore failure, and a lot of, because it's the government, a lot of other people are going to pay for their failure. So,
well, yeah, that's a given.
It's like, oh, yeah, you know, you didn't report your bitcoins correctly. We're taking your house. I mean, just, but, yeah.
On that, the only upside is obscurity helps you when it comes to the IRS. Except for when they decide to audit you before you file your taxes, which has happened a few hundred times this year. People have already gotten notices of being audited before actually filing their taxes.
It's when you make the phone call, what are you auditing? I haven't sent you anything yet. And they'll audit you anyways, just because they cannot be wrong.
Correct.
So. Cykros is saying in the chat he's expecting them to write a new law to clean some of that up. And he's probably right eventually. But kind of hate to see the crossfire between now and it getting fixed. And I wouldn't be particularly thrilled about them fixing it. I don't know what that will involve.
Well, I wouldn't mind if it was a law. My problem is, it's a regulation. The IRS is legislating. Congress legislates, not the executive branch.
That's a good point.
So they should ignore it until Congress decides to take action.
Very good point.
But that's not the way our government works anymore. The executive branch legislates, and has for many administrations now. It's not just Obama.
All right, let's move on here. We've beaten that to death. Let's see. First story up. This is from businessweek.com. Liberty Global PLC, UPC Austrian unit, almost said Australian. That's Austrian. That is different. And I'm pretty sure RU will kick my ass if I get it wrong. And other internet service providers can be forced to block access to websites that post copyright infringing material, the European Union's highest court has ruled. An ISP such as UPC Telecabal. What, really? Telecabal? They're just admitting it's a racket right up front. it's like right there in the name. It's a cabal. I mean,
sounds like a Mortal Kombat character.
UPC Telecabal, which allows its customers to access protected material or protected subject matter made available to the public on the internet by a third party, is an intermediary whose services are used to infringe a copyright, the EU Court of Justice in Luxembourg said today. The case was triggered by a dispute in Austria where two companies wanted UPC Austria to block access to a website that posted films owned by the companies online. A Austrian tribunal dealing with the suit asked the EU court whether, under the block's rules, ISPs can be forced to block their users' access to such websites. We believe that the decision to block websites and other internet content is properly one for courts and lawmakers, Liberty Global said in an email statement. We are pleased that the European Court has now given guidance as to the way such decisions should be approached. In a case involving Bellicom SA Scarlet, the EU court ruled in 2011 that ISPs can't be forced by a national court to block users from illegally sharing music and video files. The MPAA said today's ruling clarifies the rules across the EU and sends a strong signal to ISPs that blocking illegal websites helps reduce infringements. Today's verdict means that rights holders will continue to have the ability to secure balanced website blocking orders from national courts across the EU to major... No, they won't. Balanced blocking. Bullshit. They're going to use this for censorship. I don't even need to finish the story. The European court ruled it's okay to tell ISPs to block websites. So that's
awesome.
Legalized censorship. Congratulations. You know, yeah, it's illegal content, but guess what?
Once they're going to target legal content as well as illegal content.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll just declare legal content illegal, and that'll be the end of it. It's like, oh, you're speaking out against the government? That's sowing dissent and is not protected speech. Yeah, block that website. You know, it's like, oh, you're reporting the news and making bad jokes about it? You know, I mean, yeah. Yeah, this
is still ridiculous just because it's so easy to move websites, move to a different country, move your top of domain.
Doesn't matter.
It's a never-ending cycle.
Well, okay, mm-hmm. From a practical standpoint, yes, but it's still legalized. They're still saying it's okay to censor.
And you gave Goat Simulator a negative review. Your website's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It'll be abused.
So, and yes, you can move on to one of the dark nets and, you know, set up, you know, just, you know, post your opinions on 4chan where it doesn't last long enough for anybody to care, whatever. But I mean, hell, the point of it is you shouldn't have to hide.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be allowed to share things. You're not going to be allowed to, especially if they move ICANN to the freaking EU. Hugo Hugo's offering to move the G15 server to his living room so we have freedom of speech. We ran it out of my living room for quite some time, so I mean, you know. Oh. Anyways, let's see. I think my cat is going insane in the other room. It'd be interesting to see what the hell he's torn up when we get done with the show. Next story up is from CSOonline.com. Two banks that claim to have suffered losses from the recent data breach at Target have sued TrustWave Holdings, Inc., the company that was responsible for validating Target's compliance with the payment card industry data security standard. Yeah. PCI compliance. The company that came in and did it for Target is being sued by banks because of the Target breach. In a lawsuit filed in federal court in Chicago, Trustmark National Bank and Green Bank NA sued both Target and TrustWave for not doing enough to protect customer payment card data. The lawsuit, which seeks class action status, accused both companies of negligence, deceptive practices, negligent misrepresentation, and other misdeeds. The suit compensatory... had too much beer, and statutory damages for what the banks claimed were the losses they sustained in canceling and reissuing credit card and debit cards that were exposed in the Target data breach. A TrustWave spokesperson declined to comment on the lawsuit. Our company's policy is to not confirm that any party is a customer, not to comment on specific customers, and not to comment on pending legal matters. The lawsuit is one of the rare occasions where a PCI security auditor has been sued over a data breach involving a client. Companies like TrustWave are called qualified security assessors in PCI parlance. They are responsible for conducting security assessments of retailers and others covered by the PCI standard. In TrustWave's case, the company also provides a range of security services to help companies achieve PCI compliance status. Large companies like Target are required to go through on-site PCI security audits every year and must perform vulnerability scans of their networks at least once each quarter. Once each quarter? Jeez, I hadn't read PCI in a while. Didn't realize it was still once each quarter. It's like, yep, you only got to run NMAP 4 times a year.
Yeah, well, it's
you know, not
still
daily
not
like I do. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's still not going to help because from the articles that I've read, they knew that there was malware on their network. They just chose to ignore it. So being PCI compliant, okay, they can be PCI compliant, but they chose to ignore the problem and got nailed with it.
I'm not sure that PCI compliance would have caught what was used to break into Target in the first place, which was this bad login that was floating around. So.
We aren't subject to PCI because we don't process cards, credit cards or anything like that, so I'm not totally familiar with it, but from what I've heard or just kind of caught is it's really just a set of guidelines. They're very basic, like you
Oh,
said, like
it
running
is.
Nmap 4 times a year. Whoop-de freaking do.
It's like, have a security audit once a year. It, it's a,
Yeah,
it's a,
it's
it's a list of check boxes. All your
and
data must flow through a firewall.
yeah.
I had a professor back in college who told a story about how one of the compliance things was that all data must flow through a firewall. So they took an old Cisco PIX, drilled a hole through it, ran the Ethernet cable, top to bottom. Like, power drill hole through the case on the firewall, ran an Ethernet cord through the hole and plugged it from their switch to their router,
Nice.
and said, "There, our data is flowing through a firewall." And that was compliant with the policy because the wording matched.
Yeah, it's general and extremely vague and could be interpreted in many different ways.
So, I mean, if you get somebody who takes it seriously and tries to go with the spirit of it, it can be great because it forces a company to at least look at security issues. But most of the time, they're securing to the standard. They're not trying to secure their network. And anybody who's done the work knows that every network is different. Every network has its own concerns. And securing to a checklist is going to leave you, basically bent over in the prison shower, hoping nobody notices you picking up the soap. Not to use a colorful analogy or anything,
Yeah.
but I just
I'm honestly kind of confused by this. Like,
Okay.
wouldn't the banks sue Target for their losses? And then if Target were to take losses due to this, then they would sue the auditor?
That's
Like, I feel
interesting
like.
because in the security field, the auditing is, I've not really seen anything clear about who's responsible in the event of a breach. It would be in the contract between TrustWave and Target as to, if Target gets breached within X amount of time of this TrustWave audit, that TrustWave is responsible for it. And almost no security auditors are going to claim that, because in their big report, their report's going to be, here's everything we found. There's the possibility we've missed something, because of the
Yeah.
just the nature of the field. I do happen to know something about it, which is why I was interested in this article. I want to see how far they get with suing the auditors as well as Target. I
The
because they're
reason they're
naming them
not
both. They're naming them both. So
I just feel like you should not be allowed to sue the auditor, 'cause like that's kind of like, somebody goes in to fix somebody's computer in their house, they install antivirus, they set everything up 100% awesome. And then that user goes in after the tech leaves, disables antivirus, and goes and surfs some Schreiser porn videos on some Russian sketchy site. And
Scheisse
and like there's nothing you can do about it. The end user is an idiot, and they're always going to cause security issues. And there's nothing as an auditor that you can do about that. So to all of a sudden make them legally accountable for this sort of stuff, it almost makes it so like. Who in the hell wants to be an auditor if you're going to be financially responsible for all of your clients' fuck-ups?
No, that's a good point. And I, like I said, I'm very curious to see how this plays out because it directly affects my industry.
One reason I don't think the banks are going after Target, they don't want Target to put anything in place that would limit or slow people down when they're using debit cards or credit cards. Because even with this big breach, banks make money every time you slide a card. If you do that less often, they're going to lose money. The amount of money they lose from data breaches, from every identity theft case ever, it's minuscule compared to the amount of money they make whenever someone slides a debit card. So they don't want Target to make that more difficult for their customers, and that's what securing their network does. That's what making these processes safer will do. It will inconvenience the person sliding their debit card, so they might be less likely to slide a debit card or credit card. And banks don't want that.
Well, it's interesting. They've named both Target and the auditor, so I found that idea very curious. So I'll be really interested to see how that comes out, and I'm sure we'll never hear it. They'll never publish
probably
what happens.
Not.
But
it'll be settled instead of adjudicated.
That's probably true. I mean, Target has admitted guilt in public statements, so you would think they wouldn't need to go after the auditor. They just sue Target, and Target just, you know, settle with them and be done with it. So,
right. Well, to go along with what Suave was saying, PCI compliance, like they said, requires you to have a security audit every year. Well, so does HIPAA compliance, and I'm more familiar with HIPAA. Well, the thing with that is it just requires you to have an audit. It doesn't say you have to fix stuff.
Yeah.
It just says you have to have an audit. So, like, I've been going through some audit stuff at work, and it's like, yeah, okay, we know we're going to be deficient here. Well, for this reason, this reason, this reason, we're going to say, yep, we accept that risk. We aren't going to fix that. Or, okay, this is something, you know, we agree that we need to fix this or whatever. There's nothing in there that says you have to fix what they find. It just says you have to have a security audit.
I think you're on to it there. Yeah, it's PCI compliance is a bit of a joke. I mean, if you take it seriously and go with the spirit of it, you could actually get a lot of good done. But most people don't. They do the bare minimum. They do enough to get the checkbox so they can go on to the next day. So,
exactly.
Next story up is from fizz.org. U.S. President Barack Obama is proposing an end to the NSA's controversial bulk telephone data collection exposed by fugitive intelligence contractor Edward Snowden. A senior administration official said Tuesday that Obama had considered the results of a study he ordered in January into how the NSA could protect national interests without storing citizens' private data. The plan would store data outside of the government while allowing access for national security reasons, the official said. So I'm going to stop right there because I want to make sure you all understand exactly what this is. All the headlines say, see, look, Obama is stopping the NSA's telephone collection. And the NSA isn't going to do it anymore. Now the telephone company is going to do it and store it for the NSA so the government can still get access to it when they need it. It just won't be the NSA doing it anymore. They're outsourcing it.
Yeah. It's still happening, but it's not the NSA. Don't worry about it.
Right. It doesn't fix the major problems, which is no one can challenge the warrants. No one's there arguing that they're not allowed to have the warrant. The warrants are still being issued blanketly instead of against an individual, which is constitutionally required to get a warrant. You must name the person you're going after. You must present evidence on why you think they're a fucking criminal. None of which you're required to do to get access to this data. So his fix doesn't do anything. It's masturbation.
I'd say it's arguably worse here. Who would you trust more with your data? The people who, like, you know, handled your taxes and your social security card and all this other sort of stuff, or Blackwater?
Blackwater. I would trust Blackwater more. I would trust the coke dealer down the fucking street more. He's less likely to fuck me over.
I don't know. Personally, like, at least there's some, okay, don't get me wrong, there's not much, but there's some accountability when it comes to the government, because people can get voted out of office, but not re-elected.
Drug dealers get shot when they fuck somebody over.
But yeah,
that's
like
accountability.
if you have a private company running any of this sort of stuff, there's going to be no accountability. Like, that's what's kind of worrying to me.
All right. All the money that has been taken from me for Social Security is in the general fund. We're $17 trillion in debt. That means all the money that has been taken from me to be put into my own account, which didn't happen, has been spent dropping bombs or giving Solyndra loans. It's not in my account for me to get money. The federal government has defrauded me out of all of my Social Security contributions. And they're not being held accountable.
Fair enough.
President Obama has committed 37 impeachable offenses with his health care bill, or no, it's not a bill anymore, his health care law alone. He has committed high crimes. He has committed treason with his health care law alone. I haven't seen a single general who have all sworn oaths to uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign or domestic, walk up and put a bullet in his head or arrest him, whichever one you feel most appropriate.
Continuing on with the story, Obama will put forward bulletproofing on the back of his head. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't say that.
I'm just pointing out the government isn't accountable, so the idea of accountability is kind of laughable.
Obama will put forward a sound approach to ensuring the government no longer collects or holds this data, but still ensures that the government has access to the information it needs to meet national security needs his team has identified, the official said. The comments came after reports in the New York Times and Washington Post that a major reform of data collection by U.S. intelligence agencies was imminent. The NSA will end its systematic collection of data with America's calling habits, the Times reported. See, now, this is the point of the story. This is why I wanted to cover this. It's not that they're changing who does it. It's the fact that everyone is reporting that, see, it's over, it's done, Snowden won. No, they didn't. They're just outsourcing it.
Nothing's being fixed until the FISA court doesn't exist anymore. Oh, wait a minute. That wouldn't actually fix the problem. Until the FISA court no longer has jurisdictions over U.S. citizens or people in the U.S. legally. That's the way you would fix that problem.
Yeah. So, yeah, here it is. The Times reported that the records would stay in the hands of phone companies, which would not be required to retain the data for any longer than they normally would, and that the NSA would have to obtain specific records with permission from a judge using a new kind of court order. I don't know that it's new if they're still going to the FISA court.
They're still going through FISA.
So, anyways, there's... not much more to the article that needs reading. I just wanted to point it out, okay? They're not changing anything except who stores it and who has to buy all the fucking hard drives. So
there is one possible difference. They're talking about adding an advocate that's supposed to argue against the prosecutor in the FISA court. This advocate is from the executive branch. It's from the Department of Justice. They're going to be driving over in the same car as the prosecutor, hopefully just to save gas, because they're the same person, effectively. And on some cases, when the executive branch deems it appropriate, this guy will get to speak.
Okay, Timmy, go ahead. Okay, that's enough, Timmy.
Yeah, it's not even on all cases. It's on cases that the government deem appropriate. That guy will get to speak.
So he's going to have a paid position where he gets to stay home and play World of Warcraft, is what you're saying.
Yes.
So how do you apply for that job? Just, I mean, it seems comfortable.
Well, you have to have knee pads and have donated a few $100,000 to Obama.
Never mind. God.
If you spent enough money to get into the Lincoln bedroom, you can get this job. It's kind of like the Norway position.
All right. Next one up. This one's from theinquirer.net. Russian officials have switched their iPads for Samsung tablets to avoid any of the U.S. spies' prying eyes. The country famed for its KGB intelligence service, double agents, and general air of paranoia clearly is all too familiar with the dastardly spying methods in use by governments and has decided to take the drastic step of banning iPads from the cabinet. We can imagine there are several disgruntled government officials secretly cursing their president for making them buy a whole load of duplicate songs they can't transfer from iTunes to Google Play and stopping them from being able to sync their documents from their MacBooks just to get an extra bit of territory in the region. No, I don't. Wow, really? You think just because you can't transfer from iTunes to Google Play, I guarantee you we can get some music out of iTunes onto your Android tablet. That's
no. But dude, what about my Angry Birds save file? I don't want to have to redo all that shit.
And I think we may have bought off Japan anyway. Isn't that a Japanese company?
I like Cycros's joke that Samsung just means backdoor in Japanese. So
he phrased his better than mine. Good for you, Cycros. Good for you.
According to the Moscow Times, Russian communications and mass media minister Nikolai Nifronov, I hope I said that right, said the disappearance of iPads from the cabinet meetings was unrelated to international sanctions over the Crimea region, but was caused by purely technical security concerns. You know, I got to be honest, I've been looking at MDM, mobile device management, and all of the solutions out there for locking down tablets for iOS is way far ahead of the Android stuff right now. And that's, I think that's just age of the OS versus, you know, iOS has been out longer, really.
Now, this aids my quest to conquer and destroy the Apple company. This is good. We don't want them using their stuff.
Yeah,
good,
yeah. So instead of a hardware manufacturer that likes to, you know, have a lot of control over how their machines look when they're in use, they went with an advertising company for security. it's running Android, right? I mean,
yeah, it's got to be good.
Yeah, so we went with Google. They're an advertising company.
Sure, it'll be fine.
Okay, where was it? Found my place in the article here. This was
down with Apple.
This is different to the reason he gave earlier this week, where he cited U.S. surveillance as the reason for the ban. Nikifornov cited a Wall Street Journal article which said the U.S. was rushing to expand satellite coverage and communications intercepts across Russia, Ukraine, and the Baltics following Moscow's occupation of Crimea. You know, I'm a little fuzzy on the Crimea stuff. Didn't Crimea, like, vote to join Russia?
Kind of.
I'm not sure that's an occupation if the people there want you there.
Prior to the occupation, 60-something percent of Crimea said they didn't want to be part of Russia in a poll. I know that's not as official as an actual vote. When the vote came around, 98% of people said they wanted to be part of Russia, and this was after Russia had already stormed a couple military bases and had troops in the streets securing law and order.
Ah, so they had an AK to their head. Got it.
And, you know, like, I also was hearing things like the options on the vote was like, yes, I want to leave the Ukraine and join Russia. And the other option was, yes, I want to leave the Ukraine and join Russia later. Like, I don't think that's exactly how it was phrased, but it was something along those lines. So, like, there's definitely some question as to the validity of the vote.
Okay, I'm not questioning. I'm just saying I wasn't keeping up. So I was just curious because I had heard something like Crimea voted to join. So,
and Crimea might not be the only part of Ukraine voting to join soon. Russia's still building up troops on that border. So, good news, Kiev. You could have yet another election. And you'll get to vote for Putin. The ballots are going to be shipped in, pre-filled out, just to save you some trouble. But it will be a completely legitimate, open election in the style of Europe.
So, all right. I'm not going to finish the article because it gets on really stupid stuff with speculations of Putin playing Xbox One. Because I'd like to think Putin's a member of the PC Master Race, personally. But
I would like to have him as a member of the PC Master Race. I'd feel 10% more masculine.
So, anyways, yeah, I'm not quite sure. I just like that there's all this speculation about, you know, Apple iPads being used to spy on Russian officials, and it's like, I don't know that they're using the iPad. They're probably just tapping the freaking lines. I mean, the NSA's had some practice at that lately. So, anyways, let's see. Next story up is from Ars Technica. For some time now, the ACLU has been on a quest to better understand the use and legality of stingrays. These devices, which are also known as International Mobile Subscriber Identity Catchers, or fake cell towers, can be used to track phones or in some cases intercept calls and text messages. The Stingray itself is a trademark product manufactured by a Florida-based company, the Harris Corporation. It has since come to be used as a generic term like Xerox or Kleenex. Harris is notoriously secret about the capabilities of its devices and generally won't talk to the press about their capabilities or deployments. Earlier in March, the ACLU filed a motion for public access request requesting documents and information related to Stingray use by nearly 30 Florida police and sheriff's departments. Among responses published from the first time on Tuesday was the curious reply from the city of Sunrise, Florida, of a town of just about 88,000 people. Third Sawyer Sunrise officially denied the request, noting that the city would neither confirm nor deny whether any records responsive to the request exist, and if any responsive records do exist, cannot and will not publicly disclose those records. In a footnote, lawyers also cited this our story from September 2013 detailing stingrays and other... Okay, so pretty much, I can summarize the rest of this. The ACLU set out to try to find out how many cities in Florida were using these Stingray devices to track people by their cell phone. And what these Stingray things do is they stand up a fake cell tower, and so your phone connects to it instead of the real cell phone tower because its signal is stronger, whatever area they've set it up in. And it'll proxy your phone through the device to the real cell network. So if you make a call, it's kind of a man-in-the-middle attack.
Yeah, exactly.
So... basically, everyone is told the ACLU to get bent when they're asking about these things. So, I guess nobody's really surprised. I just kind of found it funny.
Yeah. Another, I don't know, is it abuse of power, I guess, or just not giving a fuck, or someone's paying them off, or...
I think it's right up with not giving a fuck, honestly. Yeah. I really do think they just don't care. So, it's like, oh, the ACLU's asking for crap. Go away.
Well, their only customer is the U.S. government, so I doubt ACLU will get far.
Yeah.
I don't think I can legally put up a fake cell tower, can I? Not without at least getting, what is it, the FCC that does broadcast?
Yeah, you have to get a bunch of licenses, and it's also highly illegal to crack cell phone signals. GSM is like a legally protected encryption thing. I mean, people crack it all the time, but if you get caught doing it, you can actually go to prison just for breaking the protocol. So.
Yeah. Yay, Fourth Amendment in Florida. I need more beer.
All right. Last story up is from TheVerge.com. A coalition of Swiss robotic labs has announced the Cybathon, the first ever international competition for athletes who use prosthetics and other aids, will be held in October of 2016. The competition is modeled after the Olympics and will feature six events: a bike race, a leg race, wheelchair race, exoskeleton race, I want to see that one, arm prosthesis race, and a brain-computer interface race for competitors with full paralysis.
An arm prosthetics race?
Apparently.
So, like, are they going to take off their arm and have them crawl down the track, or...
I'm wanting to see some prosthetic gorilla arms where they're doing the all-fours thing.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike the Olympics, where athletes can only use prosthesis to make themselves as good as able-bodied athletes and not better, Cybathlon. Competitors are encouraged to use the best technology. Dual prizes will be awarded, one to the athlete and one to the company that created the prosthetic device or software. The rules for the competition are made in such a way that the novel technology will give the pilot an advantage over a pilot who would use a comparable but less advanced or conventional assistive technology, the organization says on its website. There will be as few technical constraints as possible in order to encourage the device providers...
wouldn't need rules to make them better?
...to develop novel and powerful solutions. Of course, the races will be slower than their Olympic counterparts, but they're also arguably more mind-boggling. The exoskeleton competitors, for example, must walk over a slope, up steps, around pillars, over a seesaw, across a narrow beam, pick up a bag and carry it, go around tight corners, and then sprint to the finish line. This is the Cyber Olympics, or Cyborg Olympics,
so
I should say.
Cool.
I love that they're calling them pilots, too.
And you know, the fact that, like, the company that makes the hardware is also going to be getting a prize. This is going to turn into like NASCAR or something like that, where you're going to have like automotive or cybernetics manufacturers sponsoring a pilot, and they're going to have like their whole pit crew and everything like
I
that.
want
You're
to
going to
see
have
these
like,
exoskeleton races.
oh, this
Yeah,
is going to be
that
so
sounds
good.
sweet. And I don't get the part where they said, "Oh, of course, these are going to be slower than the regular Olympics." Yeah, maybe this year, not next year. They're going to be fucking breaking records and shit next.
From what I understand, you actually get more benefit. Like, well, runners specifically, some of the legs that they have actually give you more benefit in running than the human leg does. Because
Yeah,
you actually get
that's.
like 100% return on the force. Like, yeah, you don't have the ankle, but you can actually, hell, like, if you're able to amp it up if you want, you could actually add energy to your steps. Using a
Yeah,
actuated
so they're powered.
linear actuator, yeah, powered leg.
So how
So
long before people are removing limbs to, like, nothing wrong with your arm, lop it off so you can go compete in the Cyborg Olympics?
bound to happen.
I'm gonna predict 2016.
Nice. So, yeah, I had to finish off with something good. I mean, just the Cyborg
Yeah,
Olympics. This is awesome. This,
that's pretty cool.
I mean, I'm waiting to see the Ghost in the Shell Olympics, where you got people like charging through walls, leaping 40 feet in the air. I mean,
Yeah, no one's gonna watch the regular Olympics now. They'll be like, those bastards are slow. Look at this guy run through a wall and get shot at and dodge bullets, you know?
nice. All right, let's move on to this. How are these sound effects coming through, anyways?
Good.
Fine.
Okay, cool. Somebody in the IRC, tell me how they're coming across on the stream, because I just kind of rigged this up last minute to get the sound effects into the stream there. So let's see. I got a couple of okay, cool. Psychro says they sound good. Great. We got a couple of items in Digital Dojo. First up, LMMS finally released a version 1.0. I don't know that everyone's going to care or even know what it is. LMMS is the open source answer to FL Studio. It's been in beta for a very long time and was not a big selling point for Linux audio. People would point it out saying, like, see, here's a Linux DAW. And you'd open it up and look at it and be like, what the hell is this? It looked pretty bad. But the last version of it, they have really cleaned up the interface and gotten a lot of the bugs sorted out, and it looks very cool. So I'm going to be playing with this more. It's nice. It's free. And I'm just kind of pointing it out. The 1.0 build is not actually advertised on their website, but it's in the SourceForge. Go figure. But a couple of people have announced it on the forums. I don't know if they're like redoing the website or what, but they've got a new icon and all kinds of other stuff, and it looks great. So, and the workflow, for anybody who cares, it is very similar to FL Studio, where you set up your patterns, draw them into your playlist, and arrange songs. So, but
Cool.
yeah, I'm not sure quite why the main page hasn't been updated, but
Is this one of those things where it's like a single dude making it?
yeah, it could just be he's like rewriting the whole page and it just wasn't done yet, kind of thing.
Right. Well, and what? That's why it was the beta for so long.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I think it was like one guy doing it, and
Yeah.
I know for a long time people would give him shit because jack compatibility wasn't there, but I think he got that cleared up in one of the later betas. So, but yeah, for anybody who's just not familiar with it, it's fun to play with. For anybody who remembers it, it's a lot better than it used to be. So definitely worth checking out. Let's see. Next story up, or next item up, actually, is the Pwn Pi. I don't know if anybody's really interested in this kind of stuff, but this thing's pretty cool. It is a distribution of Linux for the Raspberry Pi that is built for penetration testing. The slug off their website here is Pwn Pi is a Linux-based penetration testing Dropbox distribution for the Raspberry Pi. Currently has 200-plus network security tools pre-installed to aid the penetration tester. It is built with a stripped-down version of the Debian Wheezy image from the Raspberry Pi Foundation's website and uses OpenBox as the window manager. Can easily be set up to send reverse connections from inside a target network by editing a simple config file. So the idea is you would install this on the SD card, and you could then rig up the Raspi in somebody else's network and use it as a way to get back in, because you could just have it connect out via I2P or whatever. And that way, you know, you've got a way into somebody's network with a little machine that costs you, you know, under $50 to assemble in a case and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, aren't they like 35, I thought?
They are, but you need a Wi-Fi card and a case and a power cord for it. So
okay.
And you also want to think this through. If you're doing this gray or black hat and somebody finds the thing, chances are you're not getting your Raspi back. So
right, but that price is way better than the Pwn plug.
Oh, yeah, Pwn plug's like $500 like bucks or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that's what I was, you know, we had discussed before. That's a little too expensive just to be leaving there. Something like this is much more
Yeah, you can afford economical. To lose it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But just some of the tool highlights that are on the thing. It works with a lot of Wi-Fi cards out of the box, so it's got Kismet and the Wi-Fi cracking tools on it. It's got Hydra, Metasploit, which is probably crazy slow on a Raspi. I loaded up the Kali build on one of my Raspis, and Metasploit took like 10 minutes to start. So I'm not sure how well that would work, but it's got SSL strip and Nmap on it, and it also had a bunch of other IP tools. I would just primarily be using it as a network proxy, just a way to get in, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
But it's just a neat little thing. It's a nice alternative to the Pwn plug, because, like you pointed out, the Pwn plug's expensive, and this kind of isn't.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Cycros in the chat there. Kali Linux on the Raspi, they just kind of did a quick ARM port, so it really doesn't run that well. This is a modified Raspbian. They stripped it down and added a bunch of tools and configured them for you. And it's got some scripts in it for automatically beaconing back home. So if you want to go leaving a box somewhere, this thing's actually pretty useful. If you're doing full-on pen testing, just get a laptop. Don't try to do it on a Raspi. Anyways, that's all I got for today. Has anybody got anything they want to throw out before we close things down here?
Nope.
I'll take your son's stunned silence as a no. So let's see. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. I'm going to be putting some more work into it tomorrow afternoon. Probably get it switched over to our test stream to see how it works. And let's see. Pure Decking every Thursday. I understand Shoot the Noise is going to be making a comeback. Missing Dialogues is also going to be making a comeback. We've got Hugo's new show, which we're trying to figure out how we want to do a time slot for that thing. So when we figure that out, we'll get it arranged and get that on the air. Maybe, you know, we probably ought to go ahead and post some of those to the website. I will get with Hugo at some point, and we will figure out how we're going to get those out, if he wants to get those out. He may not want me talking about him on the air just yet. Missing Dialogue.
We need to get him out soon if we're going to. They're current event shows.
Yeah, they are current events. You're right. So we need to get with Hugo and see what he wants to do there. Of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback form, and the subreddit. All are, I missed the IRC channel. Of course, I'm sitting here watching the IRC channel as we do the show. So, and responding to it. So if you want to try to, you know, disrupt the show, get in the IRC channel and try to say stupid shit so I laugh in the middle of the show there. that's pretty much all I got. I'm sure, you know, worst case scenario, I think Big Brother still accepts TCP/IP via carrier pigeon. Something, you know, he's got to have something to eat. So,
definitely.
Yeah. Anyways, I think I'm going to hit play on this music now as soon as I switch over to it. Here we go.
User disconnected from your channel. User left your channel.